AccuWeather forecast for today, going to be lots of sunshine. We'll have a high near 81. The Racine County Board is meeting tonight, and that meeting will include a presentation about a study done recently about the pros and cons of a potential arena and hotel development in downtown Racine as it relates to the possibility of the city maybe being chosen by the Milwaukee Bucks for launching its developmental league team in 2017. Mayor John Dickard likely going to be on hand for tonight's gathering.
We got a long way to go, but we think this is important for the city. We think this is important in a number of areas, and we're going to keep working to try to get them here.
The mayor telling WRJN News such a facility should have multiple uses, borrowing on past history in other communities, including La Crosse.
The key is sustainability for all of this. So if they're going to come here, you've got to create that platform so that it can be sustainable moving forward. You don't want to just try to bring in a team. And I saw this in La Crosse when I was in La Crosse at college. They had the Catbirds. They brought in the Catbirds there. That was all they had there. And they really struggled. They eventually then, the Catbirds left, and they just worked on the convention center space.
The mayor indicating any new arena would not be replacing Festival Hall or Memorial Hall.
You know, Memorial Hall and Festival Hall are part of us. If anything happens in Memorial Hall, it has to be dedicated back to the veterans. We're looking at the entire Festival Park area and another number of other options and possibilities as well. So, no, we're not planning on replacing anything.
From the city's standpoint, the aldermen have already been briefed privately on this proposal, though anything formal would still have to go through the public process. Mayor Dickard saying the timeline very tight, given when the Bucks want to launch their D-League team. Word coming last Friday that Racine, Oshkosh, and Sheboygan still in the running, the Bucks looking for at least a 2,500-seat facility. Tonight's Kenosha Unified School Board meeting could be a standing-room-only affair at the 52nd Street District Headquarters. The board is scheduled to reconsider the name it chose last time for the new sports stadium at Bradford High School. It was Board President Tamara Coleman who asked for this issue to be placed on the agenda after community reaction to the choice of Olin Arrington Jr.'s name going onto that facility, not the name recommended by an ad hoc committee, that group picking the school's namesake, Mary D. Bradford. Whether a compromise is offered, a complete reversal made, or no change made at all, it'll come after what could be some very intense, passionate debate and public comment this evening. And it's been 5 years since a big earthquake rattled the East Coast, and Nick Bovey says there's still effects to this day.
Just before 2 p.m. on August 23, 2011, the magnitude 5.8 earthquake could be felt from Florida to Maine, but the most damage came in D.C., Maryland, and its epicenter in Virginia. Several were injured, and up to $300 million in property was damaged. The aftershocks are still felt to this day. The Washington Monument is in the middle of another closure due to mechanical issues since reopening in 2014. Pinnacles atop the National Cathedral are still damaged, and officials believe it will take decades to fund and repair the building. Nick Bovey, NBC News Radio, Washington.
He's a convicted felon, still facing charges reference an alleged armed robbery of his store and a confrontation with Racine police. And that factored into the Racine Finance and Personnel Committee recommending denial of Clyde Oliver Jr.'s claim against the city for $10 million. That over his arrest and the medical issues he claims that he suffered.
Mr. Oliver allegedly, although I think clearly, committed an armed robbery at a store. He is a prior felon, so he was in possession of a weapon, a firearm as a felon. He fled, pointed his firearm at the store clerk who chased him.
City Attorney Scott Letney noting that after the store clerk had chased the man for a time, he flagged down an officer, and then Oliver was confronted after running into another business.
He claims, although at the time he denied needing, after he was ultimately arrested, needing medical care, that his spleen was removed. We don't have any medical bills to suggest that's true. He also says he's in constant fear of police officers, and he would like the city to pay him $10 million.
Despite Oliver's claims of deserving compensation for the medical expenses, the pain and the suffering, the alleged loss of his spleen, and this reported new lifetime fear of law enforcement from the arrest, the committee said no. Pleasant Prairie's Plan Commission approving preliminary site and operational plans for a company headquarters and new distribution center for Dehaney Enterprises Incorporated. It's a swimming pool supplies distributor, intends to build a 175,000-square-foot building at the southeast corner of Highway 165 and 80th Avenue, 163,000 square feet dedicated to warehousing the rest toward office functions. The new building to also consolidate warehouse spacing from three other buildings currently occupied by the company. New research at the University of Wisconsin revealing that women with dense breast tissue may need a mammogram every year. Those between ages 50 and 74 typically urge to get an exam every 2 to 3 years. This study indicates some women may need to get one more often because of a greater risk of tumors. Yearly mammograms for women with dense breast tissue associated with cancer deaths, that according to the UW researchers. Racine's Finance and Personnel Committee supports creation of an intent to purchase letter for a new fire truck that'll cost about $750,000, for which money has been set aside the past few years toward a late 2017 delivery. Fire Chief Steve Hansen explained that it takes over a year to get the vehicle from the time of an order, plus there's the budget calendar to consider. Next year's money, not approved until November and not available till after January 1st.
This gets us into the pipeline with the apparatus manufacturer so that they can start planning the material acquisition and the schedule to build this fire truck. The other part of this request is to waive formal bidding. This truck is intended to be a mirror image of the vehicle that is currently being built by Pierce Fire Apparatus, so that we'll have some cost savings there and will be within the budgeted CIP amount for 2017.
Chief Hansen noting that this is the second Quinn unit that's being purchased due to a decision made years ago to downsize fire operations and then purchase the specialty trucks, two of them at the same time.
They bought these fire pumper ladder truck combinations. Both of them were bought in the same year. Looking ahead, you know, that was kind of poor planning to buy so much equipment in 1 year. So working with Mr. Brown, what we did was we spread out the purchases a little bit so that they're not all ganged up in 1 year. So we have one that we're purchasing this year, one that we're purchasing next year, and get it onto a cycle, which is where it'll stay for many years to come.
The Quinn truck to be replaced is 19 years old, and Chief Hansen's words, it's worn out. Finance Committee's unanimous recommendation now goes to the full council. Walmart officials are hoping for a chance to meet with Village's Summers officials on a proposed ordinance that could, if it's approved, fine the giant retailer and other businesses too for excessive law enforcement calls to their locations. The cost recovery ordinance proposal would kick in with more than 20 calls within the calendar month or after 10 calls in which the business failed to press charges. The fine, $500. That proposal coming as the Village gets closer to the start of a contract with the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department for law enforcement services. Sheriff's Department's records show 1,134 total calls for service last year at the Walmart Center off Green Bay Road. Shoplifting was included with that, the average being more than 3 times a day. And the Wisconsin Council on Medical Education and Workforce expecting a demand for doctors in the state to go up 25% within the next 20 years, much faster than the projected 12% population increase. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty has filed a lawsuit against the state in Vilas County Circuit Court that challenges the constitutionality and the legality of the state's minimum markup law, which was first rolled out during the Great Depression. That law requires alcohol, tobacco, and motor fuel be marked up 3% at the wholesale level, 6% at the retail level for alcohol and tobacco, and 9.18% at the retail level for motor fuel. It also prohibits retailers from selling any other products below cost. Supporters of the law, they claim that without it, larger retailers will engage in predatory pricing and drive smaller mom-and-pop retailers out of business. The Wisconsin Lottery Office says a $70,000 ticket for the Badger 5 game last Friday night was sold at the Piggly Wiggly store on Spring Street in Mount Pleasant. Badger 5, the $1 daily game that begins with jackpots of $10,000, then they grow a minimum of $1,000 a day until they're won. This winner, with a ticket sold in Mount Pleasant, like all the others, 180 days in which to claim those winnings. Pleasant Prairie's Plan Commission approving site and operational plans for DHL Supply Company to occupy the entire 256,000-square-foot building at 8505 100th Street in Lakeview Corporate Park. Earlier this month, the company got the okay to occupy half that same building. The request to go with the remaining 50%, that triggered a requirement for submitting a site and operational plan. This building to be used to warehouse SC Johnson products. Public involvement meeting later on today on the proposed reconstruction of the Highway 20 and C intersection in the Racine County town of Yorkville. Starts at 4 o'clock, goes till about 7 at the Eyesgrove office building near the project site. This will be conducted open house style. The DOT says this is a pretty dangerous intersection. A roundabout is a preferred alternative, according to a release. Nothing, though, has been finalized. Anticipated construction could begin in 2018. You may have heard something about a drone that flew over Lambeau Field during the Packers-Raiders preseason game last week. It turns out to have come from across the street at a house there. The drone operator, very cooperative according to police, didn't intend to cause any harm, could still be charged though because it is against the law to fly a drone over a stadium with a big crowd. The FAA is continuing to investigate. And every student attending UW-Madison now has to take a class on how to be a better boyfriend or girlfriend. They are mandatory in-person seminars. They cover everything from dating violence to supporting a victim of sexual assault. Athletes and fraternity and sorority members have to take a second class on how to intervene. The school says these required classes come after a campus-wide survey on sexual assaults last year. After a public hearing and an hour of discussion last night, the Mount Pleasant Village Board voted to reconsider the special assessments levied against residents along Highway V for sewer and water. It effectively rescinds the assessments while the trustees and other village officials take a look at how that process worked and if changes in village policy might be necessary. Trustee Gary Feast argued reconsideration at least gives the board some time to look at the issues that are involved.
And if I have to vote to do what I have to vote to do to the residents of Highway V, because after we've looked at every other alternative, that's the only one that's viable, then that's the way it is. But at least I can tell them I sleep at night because we vetted the whole process out and came up with the best possible solution we could.
Trustee Dave DeGroote opposed the reconsideration despite comments that the rights of Highway V residents had been ignored.
Well, they have to do what they have to do, but there's 26,000 other residents that have rights as well, and I don't know what they want to get hung up. I kind of like the bird in the hand, frankly.
During the public hearing, during which most of those who spoke were against reconsideration, an attorney representing 35 of the Highway V property owners urged the board to vote yes. Attorney Alan Markovitz, representing the village, recommended the board reconsider and in the short term avoid a threatened lawsuit, says it does not promise the Highway V residents anything. The vote to reconsider, 3-2, DeGroote and Haven voting against it. John Hansen, who lives on Highway V, abstained from voting. It's a coalition of 120 cities surrounding the Great Lakes, and it includes Racine, that group challenging this summer's approval of Waukesha's plan to use water diverted from Lake Michigan, treat it, then send it back to the Big Lake via the Root River through Milwaukee and Racine counties. The group is called the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative. It's requested a formal hearing to challenge the June approval for Waukesha's water plan. And Kenosha resident Tom DeSanto, he's being remembered after his passing at the age of 76. A man who led a full and interesting life, 37 years as a teacher in Kenosha Unified, for one thing. Outside of education, though, he was a familiar face at the old Hillside Hardware Store. That's where his son worked. He also worked at Montgomery Ward. In his youth, DeSanto loved to play hockey. He was a standout bowler in his later years. His funeral is next week. Our AccuWeather forecast coming up. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.